Sean. Thank you, worship team, and choir and orchestra. I appreciate they have gone to a lot of work this week, as always. I want you to imagine with me real quick before we continue on in our time. Can you imagine John, the Apostle John, seeing the vision before the throne recorded for us in Revelation and seeing every single redeemed man or woman from 2,000 years ago to this day? Can you imagine him seeing that and not out of just pure joy and awe saying, "How great thou art"? Amen? Like, that will be a unbelievable day, won't it? All of us, the whole church, for 2,000 years, generation after generation, gathered before the throne of our great God. What a glorious time that'll be. It's such a blessing we get to have these opportunities together as a family. Let's just be reminded this morning, we're going to be a little wigglier than normal. I'm okay with that, okay? So we got little ones in here. We've got some babies in here. Let's just recognize that there's going to be a little bit more movement, maybe a little more noise than normal, and that's good because here's why. They get to see countless generations before, well, maybe not countless, but a few generations before them, worshiping the Lord, all kinds of different, but they are getting formed for the kingdom of God as they sit in this room this morning, amen? And so we're grateful to have them. We're grateful to have everybody in this space. Hey, listen, if this is your first time and you just happened to catch us on this week during our Unified service, we're really glad that you are here. This is what we wanna be about as a church. We wanna be about being the people of God, being the community of faith. And so our prayer is that you feel welcome, that you feel connected, you feel loved, you feel a part of the body of Christ, that you feel the gospel, the good news of Jesus in our congregation as we gather together. Don't forget, if you're thinking about sneaking out at the end of the service, right after communion, don't forget about our picnic. Don't miss out on that. We've got a lot of people out there making hot dogs and hamburgers and all kinds of stuff. And so don't forget, right after the service, we're going out to that time to just fellowship with one another. And so please, I really encourage you to do that. There'll be kids running all over the place. It'll be a fun time. A couple of things I want to just draw your attention to. How many of you are somewhat excited for next week's Gospel Life Encounter? I know I am. Let me just tell you something unbelievably exciting. Okay, we have already, as of this morning, had somewhere around the number of 800 people register for those classes. 800. So here's the thing: that is phenomenal. There's still more of you here. All right. So if you have not registered, please go register for those classes. You can do that out in the lobby right after the service. We have extra kiosks out there where you can register your families right after the service. You can go online to register. But we pray that there are 1,000 people in those classes, and this building is just hopping with all kinds of groups together, studying the Word of God together as we pursue what it is to live for Christ as a body here in this place. And so please, please do that. Let me just give you a little bit of logistics about how next week is going to go. Between the 9:45 and the 10:45, during that time frame, between our 8:30 service and our 11 o'clock service, so 9:45 to 10:45 is our Gospel Life Encounter classes, okay? With 1,000 people, hopefully, right, prayerfully coming, it's gonna be chaotic, all right? Like, give us a little bit of grace the first couple of weeks. We and the discipleship team are working really, really hard to make sure that everybody is plugged in, they understand where they're going. We've got leaders, we've got clear signs to let you know. Let me just kind of tell you, if you register between now and next weekend, you are going to get an email, so be paying attention to it. You're gonna be getting an email that has your class that you registered for and what room number you're gonna be in, okay? So if you scheduled up for the Young Professionals class, you're gonna get an email this week that shows what room you're gonna be at during 9:45, okay? Now here's the thing. At 9:45, when you come, if you don't know where that class is at, we're gonna have all kinds of people that can point you to that space. Okay? We're going to have all kinds of people who can get you to that point. So you can ask anybody, you can ask our greeters, you can go to the Info Central booth. See, I told you we're going to be a little more wiggly. It's okay. It's all right. But here's the, you're going to be able to have all kinds of places to be able to do that. But there's going to be a lot of movement that week. And so please just be gracious with us. If you don't plan to come to the 8:30 service, you plan to come to the 9:45 equipping hour, and then you stay to the 11 o'clock service, I would encourage you to be here at like 9:30. Give our team like 15 minutes to help you guys get plugged in before the 8:30 service lets out so that we can have that all planned out. But we are unbelievably excited for next weekend. I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for us to connect as people, to move together towards really a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we're really, really excited about that. Really, that's all I wanted to point our attention to this morning in regards to just the things that we've got going on in our family here at Central. And so at this time, Mark, if you'd go ahead and come on up. Mark is going to read our scripture text for this morning. And if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And Mark, I will let you go ahead from here.
Good morning, church family. The text for our sermon today is Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. If you're able, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church, this is the word of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Mark. Pray with me, church. Father, you are great. You are great because in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our rebellion, you provided a way to redeem us, to adopt us as sons, as daughters, to make us the family, your household, which we'll talk about this morning. What a glorious truth that is. And Father, we're so grateful for that. And so this morning we come, we gather together as your people. And Father, we want to just pray that you would bless our time. Pray that you would bless our fellowship this morning together as your people. I just pray that you would be present with us, not just in this space, but Father, even as we go out in a few moments to just fellowship and eat, as you've called us to eat and around the table together. And we just pray that you would bless that time, that you would give it your favor. But Father, now for us, as we sit now for a few moments underneath your word, may you just work in us through your word. May you let it be effective in our lives to grow us, to challenge and convict us, to encourage our hearts as your people, that we might be stirred to living deeper lives, abundant lives that you've called us to. And so we just give you this entire morning. We give you this time. We pray that, as always, that this would not be the words of men. This would not come from me simply, but Father, this would be your words for us. And that all of us, for when it is your words, would allow your spirit to open our eyes and our ears to hear those things. And Father, if it's of man, let us forget it. Let it go by the wayside. But Father, we pray this morning that you would lead us into truth by your spirit. And we just ask these things in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm gonna ask a question. How many of you in this room have played the Xbox? You guys are brave. And my son was like, I barely do it. How many of you know what an Xbox is? All right, so for those of you who don't know what an Xbox is, an Xbox is a video game console, okay? It's a video game console. And my, while we have always been very cautious in our house about video games, and we've always kind of make sure we navigated that well within our home, being very careful to not allow our kids, much to their dismay, to just kind of play whenever they want to, The Xbox has become our family's favorite, mostly because of my oldest son, who, by the way, just turned 20 yesterday. So happy birthday, Isaac. I just had to throw him out under the bus there. you're so mad at me later. So Isaac's favorite console became the Xbox over Nintendo and PlayStation. And here's the deal. If you know much about video games, like video games have changed a lot since the days that they came out when I was a kid. So when I was a kid, we'd get together in a room and we would have like two little controllers that were attached to the console. And you would have to wait for your friends to like die as whatever character you were. If you're Mario, which is just a weird game, if you think about being a plumber who runs around banging his head against walls for money, right? So if you're playing Super Mario Brothers, you're sitting there waiting for your friends to die, and you always had that one friend that could beat the game for like hours, right? And they just never did. And so it was always a frustration. But now, like, it's a totally different world. Like now, video games aren't just about sitting in a room and playing a game. In fact, they're about like competition. They're about leaderboards. They're about like multiplayer online stuff. In fact, if you go to Xbox.com, the front page, the very first thing that you see on Xbox.com is this: Xbox Community. And now here's why I bring that up, not because video games are part of our sermon, right? Although we probably could use that. It's the idea of community. Like, we all long for and look for community. Community is everywhere. We talk about fitness communities. We talk about community groups or small groups within the church. We talk about TV shows that are called community. We got shows called This Is Us talking about community, and our neighborhoods are called communities. Community is all over the place. And what community looks like intends to be that what we do is that community is how we identify ourselves, that we look to the things that make us and bring us in common, right? So it's that one thing that we have in common that bring us together, and that becomes our identity, that becomes our community, the people that we want to be around, that we're hanging out with, whether they're in the same room or whether they're in like Mexico playing Fortnite with us, right? In fact, it's interesting because even Xbox, like their tagline is this, and it's just interesting. Their tagline is, welcome to the community, we all play together. Like, we all play games. Like, that's their identity. Like, we play games. And so people who want to play games, they formulate this idea of community where they come together and say, this is who we are. Now what's interesting about this and this idea of identity is that what it represents is that we all want some form of community. Like, we're all looking for some kind of a community. And when we talk about community, one of the first things that happens is that a lot of us can go, well, okay, I'm good. Like, I've got my friends. I may have my small group. And so, okay, I understand that that's important. I understand. But let me just be very clear with something. Community biblically is not friends. It's so much deeper than that. It's not just being friends. Friends are great to have, and God calls us to have deep, longing friendships, but community biblically is something so much more profound than that. Just look at the text here in Hebrews. Look at what the author of Hebrews calls us in verse 19. Brothers, sisters. We'll add sisters because it was probably insinuated in that. In verse 21, it says that we are the house of God. Now, in the first century, that was an unbelievably deep statement to say that we are the household of God. We are the family of God. We are not just a people who have one common thing in Jesus Christ, although that's absolutely true. That's a true thing, and it's a good and it's a beautiful thing. It's that we are the family of God. We have been brought into the family of God by our Heavenly Father through our brother, if you will, Jesus. Like, we've been brought into the family of God, and we are kept in the family of God by His work and by His Spirit. We belong to each other. This isn't just some fickle group of friends. It's based on how much we like to play games or not like playing games or do gardening or whatever it is. Like, we are the house of God. The house of God. And that is a profound thing. And you know, it's interesting. Just recognizing that we are all people that are built for these kinds of relationships, that we are built to belong together. There's a really fascinating book called Relational Soul, and if you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to do that. But the guys who wrote this book, they make this statement regarding relationships, because at the end of the day, what they're kind of putting forward in the book is that we're built for relationships, that that's how we as people are actually made to flourish. And the statements they make, and I'm not going to quote it specifically, but just paraphrase it, they simply would say this, that flourishing relationships need to be given with a posture of giving and receiving. Okay, now I want you to think about that. A flourishing relationship is a posture of giving and receiving. All right, so here's how it works in the family of God. We have been brought into the family of God, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We have no fear of being kicked out of the family of God because he has bought us and redeemed us, and he maintains and sustains us. And so now we have the opportunity, we have the freedom to give and receive grace, to give and receive mercy, to give and receive care, to give and receive support, to give and receive love. We are to come to relationships with that kind of a posture, that we come into the body of Christ seeking to learn how do we give and how do we receive. But here's the challenge for most of us. The idea of opening ourselves up in a way that we are known and can be known and we know others is a terrifying prospect. Because we know the potential for betrayal. We know the potential for hurt. We've experienced it, most of us, in many ways. And if you're young in the room, if you haven't experienced it yet, you will at some stage of the game have experienced what happens when we aren't treated the way that God intends us to in the family even of God. And so what happens is instead of giving and receiving, we come to relationships with a posture of taking and defending. That's why I'm gonna defend myself. I'm gonna put up a wall to protect myself. You don't really get to know me fully, and I wanna take from you. I wanna take things from you. And this isn't at all what God has intended. See, the community of faith, the way that God has called it to be, the body of Christ, the family of God, the household of God, is a terrifying prospect. Because we have been called to all trust in and rest in the grace of Jesus Christ and to then walk into these types of spaces with one another and live lives with one another, regardless of our differences, in a posture of giving and receiving. And what the author of Hebrews calls us to, he says, listen, don't neglect being together. Why? He knows that's our tendency, isn't it? He knows our tendency is to neglect being together. He knows our tendency is to not just neglect being together, but to neglect being open with one another, to share our wounds and our brokenness and support one another. He knows that that's gonna be kind of our nature. And maybe it's not that you desire to do that. Maybe it's just busyness forces us at times to neglect being together. And the author of Hebrews says, don't do that. Why? Because God has made us to find real flourishing in biblical community. Think of Adam. If Adam was made to find flourishing alone, he would have lived in the garden alone for his entire existence. But that's not how he was made. We were made to flourish together. Godly community is necessary to truly flourish in every single season of our lives. In our joy, seasons of sorrow, seasons of the mundane. And as we talk about community, the desire for us this morning is for us to see the value, the beauty of what community is supposed to be. And when I say community, I want you to be mindful of not just a community like neighbors, but we are the house of God, the family of God that come together to give and to receive. And we are to do that in every season. And so we're called not to neglect community, even in our joy. So community and joy, what does that look like? Listen, my prayer is that everybody in this room has had long seasons in your life of joy. Seasons of anticipation, excitement, celebration, success, health, all kinds of different things. I pray and hope that we've all experienced those moments where we've just gone through great seasons of joy. And what happens oftentimes is that in these moments, in these seasons, the last thing that we're thinking about is community, right? And yet we are to be mindful to not even neglect community, even in seasons of joy. Why? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, because community, even in the midst of our joy, helps us complete our joy. Helps us complete our joy. All right, I need more audience participation. How many of you have been on a cruise? All right, keep your hands up. How many of you went on that cruise alone? Like no spouse, no friend, you just went on the cruise by yourself. Okay, I'm the only one. Like that wasn't a joke. Like I actually went on a cruise by myself. So before you think I'm weird, here's what happened. So there was a story behind this. So, okay, I was in college and I wanted to go on a cruise with some friends. And so we talked about this and we had a group of friends that had planned the date and we thought about it and we were like, okay, we're gonna fly to Miami. We're gonna go on a cruise to Key West and down into the Bahamas and then we're gonna come back. And it got to the day where we needed to book our cruise and I started calling up my friends and they all bailed on me. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going anyway. And so I did. I went online, I bought my tickets, and I flew to Miami by myself. I got on the cruise ship by myself. I had to do that awkward moment where you stand in front of like the background of the ocean, and that guy takes a picture just knowing he's thinking, man, this is sad. Because there I am, I'm like 20 years old, alone on a cruise ship, right? Now, here's the thing, you're all making fun of me, but here's the thing, when we think about this, like I love the, like there was some aspects of that I loved. I gotta remember, in the cruise I went to, you could eat just kind of anything you wanted and you just order. And I remember sitting in the first evening at a dinner table and just constantly having them bring food to me. I was 20, right? So I was having to bring like escargot to me because I'd never tried it before. And I was like, hey, this is great. And I'm reading a book, watching the sunset. And I was like, man, this is nice. This is great. But here's what happened. So there was this interesting moment. So it was, I think, the second day after we went to Key West, and it was the second day we were pulling in. You don't pull in. You go into the dock in Nassau. And I had gotten up, had a quiet time with the Lord, and I went to stand on the deck to watch the sunrise, and we were pulling into Nassau, Bahamas, and I was sitting there on the deck watching the sun rise up over the vast ocean. And I just felt the Lord stir in me, right? Based off of the things I had just read and spent. And here was my natural tendency. I wanted desperately to turn to someone and say, look at that. You know, have you ever felt that? Like, here's the deal. Like as much as you can enjoy that, we have this innate sense in us that it's not a complete joy until we've told someone. Like I wanted to tell someone what God had been doing in me that morning. I wanted to tell someone about the awe of who God was. And man, look at that, isn't that amazing? I wanted to share it with someone. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of your seasons of joy, you're not to be alone. Like you're to experience it with community, people that you can love with one another and walk through good times with one another. And a lot of times we only think of community in the hard spaces, don't we? And yet community, godly community, helps us to flourish as his people because by us being able to share those moments with each other, it helps us complete our joy. But here's the other thing. It also helps us to anchor our joy. You say, well, what do you mean by anchor our joy? Well, if you've lived long enough, and some of you kids don't know what this is like, but at some point, you're going to have these moments and you're gonna forget about them, right? Time just goes by. And you've all experienced, or at least many of you have experienced that moment where you sit down with a group of people that you've lived life with and you begin to reminisce. And what happens in that moment? Man, you remember that time? Man, I do, and I'd totally forgotten it. I'd totally forgotten. And as the community of faith, you begin to have those memories of blessing and good times and celebration anchored, not alone, but in relationships. Right? And so think about your weddings and you did the bachelor parties and the bachelorette parties and celebration of the birth of a child. Like we have those things anchored, not just to the moment itself, but to relationships. And oftentimes they get called back and they bring back to recollection when we're sitting next to someone and we're talking and sharing and living life together. And what better moment as we move into talking about seasons of sorrow? How often in a season of sorrow, have you been sitting with a brother or sister and you start to talk about things? Remember God's goodness. And the goodness of God is reminded, you're reminded of the goodness of God, even in the midst of a season of sorrow, because your joy was anchored, not just to an event, but to people. God has intended us to flourish in godly community. But we all know that sorrow comes. And we are to have community in the midst of our sorrow. And if you haven't walked through a season of difficult times, hard times, just wait. It's part of living in this fallen world. Jesus tells us that in this world we will have tribulation. That doesn't just mean persecution, although it's encountered in that. It means tribulation, sickness, hardship, death, frustrations, betrayal, loss, on and on I could go. We will all experience seasons of sorrow. And in those seasons of sorrow, when we come, when the storms of life come, community, godly community provides the support we need. It supports us in the hard. You know, Paul commands us, or the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. He says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. If you've experienced this at any point of your life, you don't need me to explain it. You know what it's like to have someone step in and bear your burden with you as the family of God. I've seen people walk through what is unbearable situations, and it's with the brothers and sisters of Christ loving them, caring for them, bringing meals to them, praying for them, weeping with them. That's what makes the unbearable bearable for many, many people. We're called to sorrow with one another. We're called to bear these burdens with one another. You know, you've all kind of walked the journey with Karen and I with our daughter Jade as we adopted her in China. Let me just tell you, we love that little girl. She can bring tremendous joy and laughter into our house, and she can bring some other things too. Like, it's been a beautiful, good, sanctifying path for us. It's been a gospel path for us. But let me just tell you, like, it's been hard. Like, there's been moments where it's just really, really, really hard. I want to just tell you a little story. Just even last week, actually, I guess it would have been 2 weeks ago, we had one of those moments. And Jaded had kind of a rough day, and it was actually on a Monday. I don't know that I'll ever forget, and if I do, you can remind me someday. But I remember it was just a hard day, and we had to put Jade, it was time for bedtime, and we'd given her a bath, and I went in to say, hey, okay, honey, let me get you out, and let's get in bed, and she lost it. Now, I say lost it, and most of you say, well, two-year-olds do that. That's normal. No, it's not. Just trust me, okay? This is not normal at all. So what happened is for the next 2.5 hours, we could do nothing to calm the rage and the anger and the screaming and the terror that came out of that little girl. And listen, this is just the result of hard things. It's the result of being abandoned as a baby. Like, that's just part of it. And for 2.5 hours, like, we did it. We tried everything. We tried to discipline it. We tried to love it. We tried to care for her in it. And nothing worked. We had no tools left. And it came to the moment where finally I was like, I just can't even be a part of this, because I literally couldn't. Karen was sitting by her bed trying to calm her down. And every time I would even step foot into the room, Jade would just freak out. She wanted nothing to do with me. And so Karen called a dear friend of ours who we met in China. She was another godsend. Actually, this same story could be applied to that moment. We met her in China. She was adopting a little girl there named Tabitha. And we called her because she has walked down this path multiple times. In fact, they've adopted 6 or 7 babies. They've got 6 or 7 of their own. I can't remember how that ratio worked. And all of them have just been difficult circumstances. And she sat there with my wife on the phone over the course of an hour or so, just letting Karen talk and carry the burden with it. I cannot tell you how important it is to be able to have brothers and sisters in Christ hear you, walk with you, love you, support you, share those hard moments with you. She didn't try to fix it. In fact, she would even hear us say, like, we're lamenting the peace in our home, which is not here right now. And she didn't, like, judge us for that. She didn't judge us for saying, like, I'm struggling to not have hard thoughts towards her in this moment. She didn't judge us for that because we're all underneath the grace of Christ. She loved us in that moment. She cared for us in that moment. And she let Christ reign through her in that moment. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes in the moments of our difficulty, we pray to Christ, come, Lord Jesus, come. And he doesn't come with an angel. He comes in the form of the body, a brother or sister. He answers your prayers in the form of a brother and sister who is there to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And if you don't have that community, who will you call? And it was so amazing that she was listening and Karen was giving to her all of her hardship and she was receiving that. And Karen was receiving her support and her grace. At the end of the phone call, after an hour and a half, we were about to hang up the phone and she said, oh, by the way, would you pray for us? Because we just found out this morning that Tabitha, we just learned some hard news that she's not developing and basically she's gonna be dependent the rest of her lives. And we just took that gut check today. She's ministering to us for an hour and a half after that. And then we got to let Christ reign through us and pray for her and support her. This is the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. And in the moments of sorrow, we are called to engage that. If you want to walk through seasons of hard alone, you can, but it will crush you. It will crush you. You're not meant to. That's not the way God has intended this to be. We are intended to do it together. I cannot tell you enough, parents, let your kids see you carry other people's burdens. Let them see you carry other people's burdens. Let them see you take down your masks and be weak and call out to other brothers and sisters in Christ and let them minister to you. Let them see the body of Christ work in your homes. That's an encouragement to us as parents. It's encouragement for us as teachers of kids, as those that live and walk with our kids. They need to see the beauty of the body of Christ. But in moments of sorrow, here's the other thing, it oftentimes brings healing. It brings healing particularly from sin. Like listen, sin is what oftentimes brings consequences of sorrow in our life, doesn't it? Hurt, betrayal, struggles with our own sin. Like we all have walked a difficult walk with sin. None of us in this room could say that we don't struggle or fight the fight of sin, do we? We all do. You're not alone. And I love this text in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I was so grateful for one of our senior saints in this church who I was having a conversation with and reminded me of this text just the other day. This reminder of this text that, listen, when you confess your sins to a brother or a sister in Christ, you're not getting forgiveness. Jesus does that, right? Like that's not how you get forgiveness. You get forgiveness from Christ. That's not what that's about. You know what it's about? Healing. Like as you struggle in hard times and sin in moments in your life where you're walking through those sorrowful seasons of a struggle in that space, like we are called to confess our sins to one another that we might find healing. I would contend you could walk alone in a sin or struggle with sin and time again go to the Lord for forgiveness and find it, but you may not ever find healing because it's not meant to work that way. We find healing from our sins as we confess it to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's terrifying, isn't it? Like none of us like to do that. None of us like to tell everybody our sins. None of us like to share those sins. But here's the beauty of the community of faith. Who's the one who grants access into the family of God? The Father. None of us have to be worried about the body of Christ condemning us or judging us. And if we all acknowledge our sin, then we all get to walk that path together. And so when we get to confess our sins to one another, we find grace and mercy and people who will help keep us accountable to sin. That's what it's intended to be. And it's in that moment that we find healing. We find Christ in the presence of a brother or sister. Maybe in your life, in your fight against sin, you aren't finding healing because you're keeping it hidden. Maybe light needs to be shined. And listen, I know that's hard. I know it's hard. And then, you know what? Maybe next week you're not going to walk into a Gospel Life encounter space and sit down with a bunch of people you don't know and go, well, let me tell you all of the sins of my life. Like, I get that. But you know where you can start? With the small things. Test the brothers and sisters that you walk with the small things first. And then grow in trust. As you share with a group of guys on one morning, as you're walking together in community, and you say, listen, I got really angry with my wife this week, and I totally lost it, and I said things I shouldn't have said, and you hear from them mercy and grace and encouragement, and hey, like, how can we walk with you in this? Then the next time a hard thing comes up, you're gonna be a little bit more courageous to share it because you were shown to be trustworthy. See, the body of Christ, we fail at times, but at the end of the day, what God has intended is that we look at each other and seek to be Christ for each other as a visible representation. We don't judge them. We love and we care and we walk together in sin. We hold people to account, don't we? We call people to repentance, but we don't tell people to repent and then leave them alone. We call people to repent and we walk with them. Finally, we need to not neglect community in the mundane. Like, this is where most of us find ourselves, isn't it? Like, isn't it the mundane? Like, kids, you get up in the morning, you comb your hair, hopefully, if your parents can get you to. You eat breakfast, you go to school, you go through the school day, and then at the end of the day, you go to whatever extracurricular activity you have, and you get home, and you do homework, and then you maybe get some playtime in, and then you go to bed. And that repeats itself Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, day in and day out. Like, we all live in the mundane, don't we? We go to work, we live life, we do laundry. We talk about this all the time. It's so important to us. Listen, most of our lives are not spent in seasons of great sorrow. Most of our lives are not spent in seasons of great joy. Most of our lives are spent in today. It's just today. And that's okay, right? But there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's good. It's just the mundane. We get up and we do the things that we do. We're not living in the midst of sorrow or failure or celebration or joy. It's just today. Brothers and sisters, you cannot neglect the community of faith amidst the mundane. That is where most of our lives are living. That's where most of those relationships are strengthened, is in the midst of the mundane. Relationships are strengthened there. Here's the thing most of us do is we wait to find deep biblical community until we're in the midst of a hard moment, don't we? Like, my world is collapsing in on me and I need people to help me. We are to practice giving and receiving in the day-to-day part of our lives. How can I support you? How can I grieve with you? How can I care for you? How can I give grace to you? How can I receive grace from you? How can I carry your burdens today as you go about being a mom, a dad, an engineer? Like, this is the community of faith in the mundane. Isn't it easy for us to neglect that? Like, we want it so desperately when we want to celebrate. We want it so desperately when we're in sorrow. But we don't foster the array of relationships when we need them, when things are just today. So let's just use marriages, for example. And Jeff and Carrie will tell you this, as they counsel with a lot, and here's the reality, is that no marriage ever falls apart because of one thing. You know what it is? It's little thing after little thing after little thing after little thing amidst the mundane of everyday life. She didn't say this, he didn't say this. They said this. They didn't do this. They did do this. Like, over and over and over again. And when we live in the midst of community, then we have a place to constantly engage those little things so they don't build up in our lives. And then suddenly we're seeking community when we're already signed divorce papers. We get to walk with one another. See, we're called to live life together as the people of God in the midst of the mundane. When we have community, experience community in the mundane, those relationships also remind us of our purpose. How many of you have realized that we're 8 weeks away from Thanksgiving? Any of those think that's crazy? Like, we'll be here together 8 more times before Thanksgiving. Like, how many of you just see life go whoop? You probably use a different word or sound, right? Like, I remember last year's gathering where we came together. It was like a beautiful day. It was like 65 degrees with no wind and sun. Like, it was amazing. I can remember it like it was like yesterday. Like, how quick does life just go by us? And before long, we're like, oh my goodness, like my kid's graduating, he's 20. Like, what happens? Why? Because in the mundane, just day after day, moment after moment goes by, and time just zips through our lives. And here's the beauty of the community of faith. And when the author of Hebrews says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, it is a reminder for us always in the midst of the mundane, recognizing how fast our time passes. Don't let each other forget that you're part of the kingdom of God and part of the mission he's called us to. And so we constantly are to live with one another, stirring one another up. Listen, without the community of faith constantly reminding us how easily does time just get away from us. We go months, weeks, years without growing in the word of God, without prayer, without seeking the kingdom of God, without doing things that the king would approve of. And we get to constantly encourage each other. So we gather together, we spend time with each other, we do not neglect to be together. Parents, be stirred. Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ in front of your kids. Be stirred to sacrifice for the kingdom of God in front of them. Be stirred to show the value of good work every day as you go out and talk to your kids about how Christ has redeemed your work, how God has made you to be his image. Kids, be stirred to be Jesus to your classmates. Be stirred that as you go through the mundane, like you are the image of Christ to many. And walk with each other in that moment, like as you're walking through those hard moments as kids and someone's picking on you or they're tempting you to do something, encourage your brother, encourage your sister. Be stirred to do that. Singles, be stirred to seek to pursue Christ and to pursue the kingdom, to find yourself having many spiritual kids, as we talked about a few weeks ago. Use your time wisely. This goes back to last week's sermon. Like, we get to stir each other to good works, to these things that God has called us to in the midst of the mundane. Brother, sister, are you reading the word? Brother, sister, what is God doing in you? Brother, sister, are you in prayer? Brother, sister, are you recognizing the lost around you? Brother, sister, are you loving your spouse well? Brother, sister, are you caring for your kids well? Brother, sister, on and on and on we could go. In the mundane, we are to be the community of God, reminding each other of the purpose that we have been called into. Amen? Here's the thing. This is us. This is us. And I don't mean to play on that TV show, but that's the reality of it. This is us. We are the family of God. We are the household of God. We are brothers and sisters. We gather together as the community of faith, a community that has been created, developed, begun by the blood of Jesus Christ. And maybe you sit here and you think to yourself, man, I don't need more community. That isn't something that's important to me. Like, listen, if that's you, and you haven't heard anything I've said this morning, let me just tell you this, then be the community for someone else. Maybe you're content, but there's somebody in this room that doesn't have it, and they need you to step in and be Christ for them and be Christ with them and love them well as Christ has called us to as the people of God. At the end of the day, when we talk about this gospel life encounter, that's one of the things that we're trying to drive is a space where we can be the people of God together. I want to close our time with this. And I want to talk real quick to anybody in the room who may not know Jesus. And here's the thing. You may not know Christ. You may say, well, okay, I know what church is all about. I know the gospel. He died for my sins, all these kinds of different things. Here's what I want to encourage you this morning. First of all, I'd like to say that as you look at the community of faith of the church, we fail all the time. But you know what? There is a bond with the community of faith in this space that cannot be pulled apart because we are the people of God. While we will disagree, while at times we will even go to other churches, you know what is amazing? We will all stand before the throne one day and live forever together. And so when you look at this space and you say, man, listen, in your life, you've longed for all kinds of belonging. Maybe you've joined all those Xbox communities or fitness communities or whatever it is, and you're looking for belonging and you're trying to find it based off of commonality. And all the time you're taking and defending, trying to keep yourself hidden from everybody. I'm just telling you right now that God has made you to flourish within an open, loving community that has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, as much as we fail one another, don't miss the beauty. Don't miss the beauty. Even as we looked at the stage this morning, and we had people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of different colors of skin worshiping God together, where else does that happen? It's most seen in the church. It certainly should be seen in the church. And as you long for that, as you look for that, all kinds of other places, here in a moment, we're gonna turn to what we call a time of communion. And if you're not sure what communion is, and you look at that and you go, well, I don't really know what it is that you guys take this bread and this juice. Here's what we celebrate as the people of God. We celebrate that we have been brought into the community of faith by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the broken body of Jesus Christ. This text reminds us of that. It is by the blood of Jesus. The curtain has been torn. We can dwell with God together because the flesh of Christ has been broken. And if you are longing for a place to belong, enter the house of God through Jesus Christ this morning. Let him pay for your sins. Let him cover your sins with his righteousness and bring you into the household of God. And as we pass these plates, I just want you to imagine, what would it be like to be a part of a family where you could be completely safe and secure and knowing that you were gonna find the grace of Christ in the relationships that you have? That they're not built on just a common desire or a common liking, but they're built upon the fact that you are a family. Jade will never leave my family. The enemy will disregard you just like her family disregarded her. She has been adopted. And those of us in Christ Jesus have been adopted into a family where he will keep us until the day where he comes again and establishes us and we get to reign with him in the kingdom of God. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I encourage you, please place your faith, place your trust in him today. And church, as we take communion, and ushers, if you would go ahead and take your places at the communion table and prepare to pass, as we take communion, be reminded you were not saved alone. You were saved to a family. You were saved to brothers and sisters, to a father who loves you. And you've been saved because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of his blood and because of his broken body. And so we get to gather together and celebrate that, amen? Well, I just wanna read this text again. Brothers, sisters, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over our house, the house of God. Hear this call this morning as we take communion. Let us draw near with a true heart. Why can it be true? Because there is no reason to shame, amen? There is no reason to hide, amen, because his blood is sufficient. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, amen? I don't care what you've done this week. He's faithful. I don't care how faithless you've been this week. He's faithful. I don't care what you've said this week. He's faithful. Give those things to him. Rest in the grace of Christ and come and dwell with your Father this morning. Lord God, we are so grateful that we get to gather this morning as your people and we get to celebrate. And Father, my prayer is that for us as the people of God in this particular location of Central Christian Church, Father, that you would bind us together, not just through the commonality that we have in Christ, that you would bind us together as family, as a people adopted, as a people who love one another, who care for one another, who would give and receive in our lives together. Father, I pray that you would bless this family. And I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts to the good works that you've called us to as we join together. And even this morning, as we celebrate the work of your Son, as we pass these plates, stir our hearts to see the beauty of your kingdom, to see the beauty of your people, to see the beauty of your family. And Father, I want to pray that for those in this room that have longed to belong, Father, by your Spirit, would you weigh upon their hearts the desire to become a part of the family of God? They are welcome. And they have been given access by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may they place their trust in you this morning. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to a time of offering where we have the privilege and the honor to be able to give to the Lord and his kingdom. As we say this every week, and I think it's just such an important thing, is that we as the people of God are to give joyfully without compulsion. And so if you're new here and you don't know anything about who we are, this is a time for us as the family of God here at Central to say we are all locking arms together, moving in one direction, and we seek to do good things for the kingdom of God together. And that's what this time of offering is that we are having an opportunity to worship our Lord because of the things that he has done by giving to the Lord and his kingdom. And so let's just pray for that blessing. Father, we thank you for this privilege. It is a beautiful privilege that we have to be able to give of resources, not because you need them, but because you have invited us into the beauty of being a part of the kingdom work that you have called us to. And next week, we'll get a chance to talk about that extension of the kingdom. And so, Father, I just pray a blessing upon these funds. I pray, Father, that you would multiply these funds for the sake of your people and your work here in this church. And Lord, I just pray that you would also give us wisdom to be good stewards of them. We just pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As the plates are being passed, let me give you a little bit of instruction in regards to our time right after the service, okay? First and foremost, don't forget to register. We've got kiosks out in the lobby if you want to register for the Gospel Life Encounter Spaces. But also, the picnic is going to be on the south side of the building. That's this side of the building. That's the non-Walmart side if you're like directionally challenged like I am. This side of the building, you can go out. There's a line where you can go through, get your hot dogs, burgers, whatever it is that they're making out there. Sit, find anywhere you want to sit. Find shade underneath the pavilion. You can let your kids run. We get to love one another's kids together and keep them all safe, right? Just really, really encourage you. If you came at 11 or at 10:45 thinking, what did I miss? That's okay. Stay. Enjoy the community together. Enjoy the fellowship together as the people of God. If it's your first time here at Central, we're really glad that you're here. I'd love to be able to meet with you. And so right after this service, after we sing here in a moment, I will be right outside at what we call our Info Central booth, and I'd love to meet with you and talk with you. And then I'd like to ask, would you please stand with me? And we're gonna sing a song together here in a moment. I do wanna invite our prayer counselors, if you go ahead and just make yourself available. Even though we're gonna go out and fellowship together, If you want prayer for something this morning, we're going to have these people up here that want to pray with you. And so we want to just make ourselves available always to do that if you want to talk to somebody. As we close this season of our church, jumping into a brand new season. So next week, remember, we have two services. We have the 8:30 service, which Peter and the choir will be leading. We've got our 9:45 Gospel Life Encounter Space. And then we have a 11 o'clock service, which Sean will lead, and the praise band. And so that's our new, kind of our new service times. And with the launch of something new, I cannot think of a better way than for us to celebrate the season that God has brought us through and to look forward to a new season that he is leading us towards as we sing the doxology together. So Sean, Peter, if you'd lead us out.
Church, follow me. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord. Come before him with songs of joy. So would you sing this loud with me this morning? Can you lift your voices? Let's sing the doxology as we go to spend time together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye in heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.